Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I attended my first Democratic convention at the age of six in 1960. And back then, the Democrats were the champions of the Constitution, of civil rights. The Democrats stood against authoritarianism, against censorship, against colonialism, imperialism, and unjust wars. We were the party of labor, of the working class. The Democrats were the party of government transparency and the champion of the environment. Our party was the bulwark against big money interests and corporate power. True to its name, it was the party of democracy. As you know, I left that party in October because it had departed so dramatically from the core values that I grew up with. It had become the party of war, censorship, corruption, big pharma, big tech, big ag, and big money.
Pretty big announcement on Friday. And yet, even though it was a big announcement, the announcement wasn't quite exactly what I think some people had expected. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. made clear, which, by the way, I might say some things this morning that strike you as, well, duh, everybody knows that. You know, sometimes, duh, everybody knows that isn't what everybody knows. He's Bobby Kennedy's son. Okay, so JFK was his uncle, right? Just, you know, Robert is Bobby. I know, but sometimes you've just got, because he hasn't really been covered, because I think his criticism of the mainstream media basically boycott of his campaign, I think is accurate. There might well be people who aren't exactly sure what his relationship to the Kennedys is. And so, you know, just saying it doesn't hurt. It's okay. So RFK Jr. on Friday, and he, by the way, he did not drop out of the presidential campaign. It's kind of interesting the way this is all being covered, you know, or just kind of the way it's being described. He specifically said that he did not drop out of the campaign.
Oh, I want everyone to know that I am not terminating my campaign. I am simply suspending it and not ending it.
I thought the headline was he dropped out. He didn't drop out. Well, he said he suspended it. Okay, it's more nuanced than that. It's actually kind of an interesting thing.
My name will remain on the ballot in most states. If you live in a blue state, you can vote for me without harming or helping President Trump or Vice President Harris. In red states, the same will apply. I encourage you to vote for me. And if enough of you do vote for me, and neither of the major party candidates win 270 votes, which is quite possible. In fact, today our polling shows them tying at 269 to 269. And I could conceivably still end up in the White House in a contingent election. But...
But you got to kind of be in the process to make that even more likely. And, you know, that's because of the way, I think what he's arguing is that because of the way votes get counted, you know, the way, Electoral College votes get assigned, there's some chance that he might thwart the 270 both ways. If they come super close and then he can catch a couple is basically his argument. And he's hoping, I mean, he's still hoping to win the presidency. But what he's saying is that in the, the states where it's a blue or a red, he's going to stay on the ballot because it doesn't matter. You throw him 5 or 10% of the vote, it's not going to matter. But in battleground states...
But in about 10 battleground states where my presence would be a spoiler, I'm going to remove my name. And I've already started that process and urge voters not to vote for me. It's with a sense of victory and not defeat that I'm suspending my campaign activities.
Because he doesn't want to be a spoiler for Trump to throw it to Harris, who he considers a far worse outcome than Trump, especially after he's talked with Trump about the possible role that he might have in the Trump administration shaping healthcare policy or policy that impacts on health, right?
Many months ago, I promised the American people that I would withdraw from the race if I became a spoiler. A spoiler is someone who will alter the outcome of the election but has no chance of winning.
And because he doesn't believe he can win, he doesn't want to spoil it for the better candidate, the one that's more likely to do good things, according to him. And so that's why he's saying, okay, in safe states, doesn't matter, vote for me. We'll get a better sense of who really would have voted for me anyway. In battleground states, swing states, I'm going to take my name off the ballot so I don't affect the outcome in a way that would be adverse to my ideas just by staying in it and therefore harming the person that I might otherwise be most aligned with.
In my heart, I no longer believe that I have a realistic path to electoral victory in the face of this relentless systematic censorship and media control. So I cannot in good conscience ask my staff and volunteers to keep working their long hours or ask my donors to keep giving when I cannot honestly tell them that I have a real path to the White House.
See, that all makes sense to me. Now, we didn't get into the early part of the speech, which is why is he making the decision to go with Trump as opposed to go with Kamala Harris? Why to go with the Republicans instead of with the Democrats? Well, the answer there is actually a lot of the same answers that Republicans would give.
When it abandoned democracy by canceling the primary to conceal the cognitive decline of the sitting president, I left the party to run as an independent.
And remember, that's following off that first clip I played, which is my party has left its own ideals, the party of my family. I mean, the party of JFK and Bobby Kennedy, right? His party, his family's party. If there's any name, as you may have seen some of the comments on social media, if there's any name that's synonymous with the Democratic Party, it's Kennedy. And so for the son of Bobby Kennedy to say, this party is no longer my family's party. Now, some in his family disagree with him. He's not the only one who speaks for his family. But for him to say that about the party is enormous. And for him to say that his party has been covering up for Biden's mental decline, his party has been, you know, suppressing his campaign, his party has made it, of course, so that he could not run an effective campaign because of their collusion with the media and social media.
In an honest system, I believe that I would have won the election in a system the kind that my father and my uncles thrived in, a system with open debates, with fair primaries, with regularly scheduled debates, with fair primaries, and with a truly independent media untainted by government propaganda and censorship.
Because Kamala Harris hasn't won a primary vote. Kamala Harris has been shielded from the public. She hasn't done interviews. Of course, Trump has done interviews. RFK has done loads of interviews. And he basically looked at it and said, my party, my dad and my uncle would have never stood for this kind of suppression of democracy, this kind of thwarting of the very ideals of this party. Putting aside, you know, the issues that I have with the war, him saying, you know, the issues that I have with war or with healthcare policy or failure to regulate food that he thinks is one of the big, you know, problems in America is that we are all eating ourselves into chronic health conditions and therefore needing all of these massively expensive drug bailouts. And, you know, why do we have so much ADHD and why do we have so much autism and why do we have so much diabetes? Well, because of the way our diets have not been properly managed and protected from the pollutants that are in them. I'm just kind of summarizing the way he looks at the world. And that's why we're spending all this money on healthcare. And that's why so many people died during COVID. And that's why we're dealing with something like the, you know, obesity epidemic that's leading to the Ozempic gold rush. You know, that all of that stuff in his mind, okay, is all tied together. He says, look, President Trump is sympathetic to my ideas on these topics. I think I can make a difference working with Trump. I cannot possibly get elected. And the other side, my family's party, has completely abandoned its principles. So we have to do something dramatically different. And the dramatically different is I'm going to work with Trump, and I think that we can make a big difference on this stuff. He even said, I don't know that it'll work. Trump might not hold true on his promise, but...
President Trump has told me that he wants this to be his legacy. I'm choosing to believe that this time he will follow through. His son, his biggest donors, his closest friends, and all support this objective. My joining the Trump campaign will be a difficult sacrifice for my wife and children, but worthwhile if there's even a small chance of saving these kids. Ultimately, the only thing that will save our country.
Yeah, he's willing to take the risk. He's willing to take the chance, right? That's the idea. And he says, I don't know if it's going to work, but he says, I'm going to make America healthy again. Maha. So we now have the MAGA. Now, I will say this. I think that I have not watched, I don't know, much or any of RFK. I've had people tell me, Andrew, you really should. You'd like him. Okay. I think he sounds a little kooky. I think that some of his ideas are grandiose. I think he sounds interesting. Okay. But I will acknowledge that I have not researched and investigated him a lot because basically he seemed like a very non-viable candidate to me, and I just don't have enough time to go investigating every other candidate that's out there. And I know that's what he says is part of the problem, is that because there's been so much suppression of him and his ability to get his message out, that people don't even know who he is enough to support him, even if they might, because the collusion by the media with the Democratic machine has been so effective. I mean, all fair criticisms, okay, all fair observations. But I think RFK, and this is just, you know, Andrew's speculation, I think RFK Jr.'s importance in this election is not so much going to be the people who liked him are now going to follow Trump because he says I'm out. Although I think that's true. I don't think a lot of the people who were following him are going to go for Kamala Harris. I could be wrong. Well, you know, time will tell. I do think... And by the way, the reason is because his policies and his view are so different from really either party. Although his anti-war message is very much aligned with Trump, okay? But of course, the Republican Party has long had a history of, you know, global interventionism in order to advance the ideals of democracy. Trump is not... Trump's all over the place on this. I don't know what he really believes about that. Although he's against wars, he at the same time recognizes, I hope, the value of at least some of our alliances in favor of democracy and against authoritarianism. But, you know, time will tell, right? We saw during his first administration. Anyway, I don't think it's the policy stuff. I don't think it's the followers stuff that's going to matter. I think the value that RFK Jr. has to this election is to continue to talk about how the Democratic Party has betrayed Democratic ideals. Because that's a message that speaks to Democrats in a way that they might hear and might understand and might care about. Because I think there are a lot of people who, maybe not many, okay? People who think that, you know, they don't like Trump. They don't like Republicans. But they hate the idea of being forced into a choice that they didn't want. And at some point, the Democratic Party, with its history of influencing its own primaries and suppressing candidates and favoring candidates and superdelegates and what they did with Biden and what they did with Harris, is going to lose its own people because even though they hate what Republicans stand for, even though they hate Trump, they really hate violations of democracy. And time will tell whether that is a strong enough motive to send them either home or to send them into voting for Republicans, because they're going to tell the Democrat Party that you can't keep doing this to us. This is absolutely unacceptable. As I say, time will tell about that. So I think the role, the value that RFK Jr. has in the election is more in that direction and not as much in the, hey, come with me, I'm with Trump, or, you know, my policies are more in line with Trump or something like that. I think it's the other narrative that is probably a little bit more meaningful in the election. 523 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
So I always say that Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community, and if you didn't know me, you might think I just use words lightly, but I really don't. I mean, as a philosopher, I use words very deliberately and mean the words that I use, and so when I say they serve, I mean that. For example, if you go to Frontier, when you look at a car, you're going to get a price sheet and you're going to get a Carfax, and a Carfax is a great resource. It's not the end-all be-all of everything about the maintenance and service history for the car, because it kind of depends on voluntary reporting. That's why I recommend you get a good used vehicle inspection from a mechanic you trust, but you get it from Frontier. But if you don't go to Frontier, like you go to, you know, Jim Bob's corner lot somewhere and you're going to buy a car and they don't give you a Carfax, or like off of, you know, Facebook Marketplace or something, no problem. Take the VIN, give it to Frontier. Frontier will run a Carfax for you for free. Why? Because they can, because it helps, because it's nice, because it's being a good neighbor, because why not? And so when I say that they have been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that.
I occasionally have nerve discomfort in my hands, so the things I love to do...
Let's play something, Grandma!
...became difficult as I got older.
If you have occasional stabbing and burning in your hands and feet, try Nervive Nerve Relief. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use. Say yes to healthy nerves with Nervive Nerve Relief. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Febreze. As a rideshare driver, I love keeping my car smelling fresh and clean. So when I'm driving, I only trust new Febreze car vent clips, now with 3 times greater scent control, because it's that little touch that sets me apart. I can turn the intensity down for subtle freshness, or I can turn it up for when I want lots of scent. So whether it's set to low, medium, or high, with new Febreze car, I know my car's going to smell amazing, which keeps my driver rating right where it belongs.
Picking up! Oscar! La, 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 la.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
At the same time. I mean, it's both, right? But it's, you know, sometimes it's the terriblest movies that have the bestest quotes. You can quote me on those exact words. 527 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's good to be back in Pensacola. Very, very good to be back in Pensacola. All except for the heat. That's all right. That's part of the package. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the founder and CEO of Telegram was arrested yesterday at an airport near Paris. Pavel Durov was on his private jet when he was arrested as part of a police investigation. The investigation is focusing on a lack of moderation on Telegram. Authorities say they believe that allows criminal activity to occur on the app. The National Park Service says the body of an Arizona woman that was swept away while hiking at the Grand Canyon has now been found. Park officials say Shinoa Nickerson was swept off without a life jacket on Thursday, about a half a mile above the Colorado River confluence. Her body was then found on Sunday morning, about 20 miles from where she'd last been seen.
Okay, I wasn't clear about this story. I thought they were hiking, but you say without a life jacket. Were they rafting?
I believe they were hiking. I think this news text is just saying she didn't have a life jacket and somehow got swept off.
Okay, all right, which is, I mean,
probably
I've
a
hiked a lot in my life.
I'm
pretty sure I never in my life ever hiked with a life jacket on. So
well, you got to be prepared for anything when you're hiking, really, you know? I like to take one of those small oars with me for every hiking
trip.
Well,
I mean, you know, you got to have a flare gun.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have a sauna buoy. You got to carry a whistle with you, obviously, in case you get swept out to sea.
Right, obviously some bear spray.
and some shark spray.
Right. Clearly. Absolutely. Yeah.
No, I say this because, you know, like, we've been paddleboarding a lot lately. We've kind of, in the last year, we started doing that. And we have had to learn the rules of watercraft along the way, mostly because the Coast Guard has told us.
Right.
You know what you need is a life jacket and a whistle. Oh, on a paddleboard? Yep. Okay. Yeah. And they're real serious about that, by the way. So, you know, yes. That's why it made me not, I mean, it's a horrible story of this woman dying, but that's what it made me think about. It's like a life jacket. What? Okay.
Yeah,
was that it, sir?
That is it for right now, unless you want more, because I can always come up with more.
Sure. Yeah. Give me another one.
All right. Well, how about this? Dr. Anthony Fauci is expected to make a full recovery after being hospitalized for West Nile virus.
Oh.
He is now out of the hospital, back at home, and recuperating.
I feel like every couple of years, we just come out with a new one. And the wheel of dangerous diseases never loses a space. It's like they just keep adding things. And, you know, you wake up one day and you spin. Mpox! West Nile virus! Zika! COVID! You know, can we not take some of these spaces off the board? Am I wrong thinking about this? So, and the answer is no, that's not how that works. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:30 on News Radio 92.3. Stepping Out in Style, the 48th annual Stepping Out in Style, October 24th at Sanders Beach Corinne Jones Resource Center. Get tickets, visit BaptistHealthcareFoundation.org for more information.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Israel and Lebanese Hezbollah exchanging gunfire Sunday. Israel saying it thwarted an attack, with Hezbollah saying it launched rockets and drones aimed at military targets.
The IDF claims it detected a large-scale attack was imminent. Both Iran and Hezbollah have been threatening retaliation against Israel for weeks after the assassinations of a top Hamas and top Hezbollah leader.
That's Fox's John Scott. Ceasefire talks in Cairo yielding no deal so far. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Trump kicking their campaigns into high gear.
Vice President Kamala Harris and running mate Tim Walz are barnstorming Georgia on a bus tour through the state. Meantime, former President Trump will make stops in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. Robert Kennedy Jr. says he plans to hit the campaign trail with Trump.
That's Fox's Jackie Ibanez. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got partly cloudy skies. It's 73 degrees right now in Pensacola. Police are investigating a hit-and-run crash that left a man critically injured. This happened last night at the entrance to the Creighton Road Walmart store. Police were called to that scene at about 8:15. They say the vehicle had fled. Witnesses described the suspect vehicle as being a white Toyota sedan. They believe it would have front-end damage. If you have any information, contact Pensacola Police, or you can call Crime Stoppers. A woman has died. A man's injured after a stabbing near a known drug house in Escambia County. This happened on Talladega Trail on Sunday morning. Deputies say the call initially was reported as being a shots fired call, but when they arrived, they found two victims with stab wounds. The woman died of her injuries. The man was taken to the hospital, where he is currently in critical condition. Right now, there's no word on what led up to the stabbing or any suspects in the case. The investigation continues. A meeting today could determine if more than a million Floridians will see their property insurance bills go up. The Florida Office of Insurance Regulation is meeting to discuss Citizens Property Insurance Corporation's proposal to raise rates by almost 15%. If it's approved, the average policy could go up more than $500. The goal is to bring Citizens' rates more in line with companies in the private sector to reduce the number of policies that Citizens has. Well, despite Florida State's loss over the weekend, there might be some good news coming out of their football game in Ireland. Governor DeSantis was in Dublin for FSU's game against Georgia Tech on Saturday. The Seminoles lost on a last-second field goal, but while they were there, Governor DeSantis tried to drum up a little bit of business for the state. He met with business leaders interested in coming to Florida or expanding their footprint here. DeSantis wrote on X that he's looking forward to seeing how the trade and investment opportunities that come from that trip end up benefiting the people of Florida. Two arrests were made over the weekend after gunshots were fired into a home on Lloyd and North S Street. Escambia County deputies say they found the suspect vehicle, ended up stopping it using a pit maneuver on Jackson and Lynch Streets. Two people in that vehicle were pulled from the crash and arrested, 22-year-old Meltez Coley and 26-year-old Alexia Gobel. Both face charges of drug trafficking. Gobel also faces charges of firing a weapon. Both are being held in the Escambia County Jail with no bond. It's 5:34 right now at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Monday morning weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. There is a small chance of rain this afternoon, 30% chance overall. Otherwise, temperatures warming up near 92 degrees, feeling quite muggy this afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 79. For Tuesday, rain chances increase, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 73 now in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, and it's 73 in Milton. Our next news at 6. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, tomorrow night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. Tomorrow night, it's Christy D's Bad Juju, a music staple in Pensacola. Playing the top 40 hits from the 60s to today. Motown and the Obscure, the way you want to hear them. Bands on the Beach, tomorrow night at 7 with Christy D's Bad Juju.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Navarre Farmers Market, Combs of Honey, is Saturday from 10 till 2 at the corner of 87 and Segura. Explore and enjoy the wide range of products. GetRelaxing.com for more. The Greater Pensacola Commissioning Committee is proud to welcome the USS Richard McCool to NAS. Take a free tour next Monday through Wednesday afternoons. Get info at PensacolaNavyLeague.org. Submit your nonprofit event at NewsRadio923.com.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your boat.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers!
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
Verify our range to target. One ping only.
What's the range now?
200 miles, sir.
They break 150 miles, launch the alert 5 aircraft.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? You're slowing down! You're slowing down!
I'm bringing them in closer, Merlin.
You're gonna do what?
I got a good lock. Firing.
Yes, this is our opportunity to talk with some of our local military commanding officers. It's a sequence we call Know Your Tenant Command, because, you know, my idea was that people know that the NAS Pensacola has something to do with training pilots, and there's a golf course, and there's a museum, and there's a lighthouse, and there's a cemetery, and beyond that, people don't know a lot. Even I don't know a lot, and I wanted to get you to understand what our local military operations include, and they are massive in size and scale and scope. Joining us this morning, we have United States Navy Captain Kimberly, goes by Kim Toon. She is the commanding officer of NMOTSI, the Navy Medicine Operational Training Command, based on NAS Pensacola. Captain Toon, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, good morning. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Good to be here.
Great to have you. Now, we should put a little asterisk because you were the commanding officer. You just recently had a change of command, and you're actually heading out to a whole new command where you're going to be going very soon. You're in the process of moving, of all things. You're going to be the surgeon for Commander Task Force 80. But until very recently, you were the CO, and I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about that operation. So, fourth tour in Pensacola. You've been a student in four of the six detachments overseen by your command, a former chief medical officer for a carrier. I think you're a plank owner on both the new Ford and the George W. Bush. Is that right?
I'm a plank owner on Ford. I did the maiden deployment on Bush. So I took Bush on deployment the first time, but not a plank owner.
Outstanding. 27 years in the Navy. And we were talking yesterday a little bit. You have actually flown 27 different airframes, not as a pilot, but you do have your wings and you have been in those planes, right?
That is correct. I do have some stick time in some of the aircraft that's able to do that. I have three shipboard landings on a ship that's no longer in commission, the USS O'Bannon, that I think is, I think we sold to the Canadians for some training, but that's, so that's how old I am, but yeah.
Oh, that's good. So I didn't know that too. That's fantastic. And you were the XO on the United States Navy ship Comfort, which, now, was that during COVID or was that after COVID?
It was just after the COVID mission. So I took over just after they got back from New York. And then I cross-decked over to Mercy, to the U.S. Naval Hospital ship Mercy, and went on their deployment in the Pacific in the summer of 22, doing some stuff out there in Vietnam, Guadalcanal, Palau, and the Philippines.
So she is a real, like, she has been doing this a long time. She knows what she's doing. And this is a command that, frankly, I didn't even know we had on the base, which is why I want to talk to you about it. And also, it's not a little one. It's an enormous operation that you oversee. So tell folks what NMOTSI is all about.
So Navy Medicine Operational Training Command, NMOTSI. So think of it like if you're providing medical care for the Navy, but not necessarily in a hospital. So if you're doing medical care for aviation, submarines, on the surface ships with marine recon, you are probably gotten your training through Navy Medicine Operational Training Command. That also includes if you're an aviator and you've ever gone through your physiology training, including the Dunker, you've been trained by NMOTSI, because all of that is within NMOTSI. So I like to joke, and you can't see it on the radio, it doesn't play, but my command is all the way, or was all the way from Whidbey Island, Washington to Jacksonville, Florida, Groton, Connecticut to San Diego, with three different time zones, 19 different training sites, six different detachments, and about a little over 750 people.
And every year, and I think that 750, like, think about a company that employs 750 people. She's the commanding officer or the COO for that company, okay, as a captain. How many students come through your training programs, or when you were the CO, come through NMOTSI's training programs every year?
NMOTSI trains a little over 18,000 students a year. A big bulk of that, about 14,000 of that, is the aviators. So aviators have to go through their physiology training once every 4 years. And so a quarter of naval aviation goes through NMOTSI every year. And then over 4 years, you've trained all of naval, all of naval aviation. And then about 4,000 operational medicine students, including independent duty corpsmen, medical officers. So if you're going to be a medical officer of any sort to support aviation, whether it be a physician, an optometrist, a psychologist, a physiologist, a physician assistant, you'll be trained actually here in Pensacola at the Naval Aerospace Medical Institute, or NAMI.
It's an enormous, like, when I think about this, I always think in terms of UWFs, you know, try to get you a sense of scale. The University of West Florida enrolls 14,000 students every year, and you teach, train, equip, over the course of the six detachments on your 19, I think you said, locations, 18,000 students every single year. So every year you turn over about 30% more than the entire enrolled population at UWF. I mean, this is a big operation. We're talking to Kim Toon, Captain Kim Toon. She is the just recently commanding officer of the Navy Medicine Operational Training Command. I think people will find it entertaining if you're willing to, I mean, I assume you would, but I didn't ask your permission in advance. Because you have wings, you have a call sign, and your call sign, I think, is kind of funny.
It is. So my last name is Toon, so my call sign is Looney. it makes perfect sense. So my husband and I have been married now for 26 years, and it's his last name too. And I took his last name. And when I married him, I was like, this is perfect.
I'm going to have the call sign first.
No, I had, I got his name, but then, but having a name like that, I was already in the Navy. So I was already in the Navy, kind of knew what I was going to do. And so when I married him and his last name was Toon, that's not why I married him, but it worked out very well to be able to do that and have the name Looney Toon. Like when we met, he introduced himself Mike Toon, as in name that.
All right.
So you can do so much with a last name like Toon.
And by the way, I want to focus obviously on the command, but just so people understand, because sometimes it's useful to understand who runs the Navy. You know, who are these people? You're kind of a reverse of the normal family, because your husband takes care of the household and takes care of your. He had a career, but he's now a stay at home, and so you're the one. Like, you guys are moving for your new command, but he's not even in the military, and you guys kind of have a little bit of a reverse relationship of what you often see in the military, right?
That is absolutely true. So I joke that I've been married to the Navy 1 year longer than I've been married to him. So he knew what he was getting into.
Right.
But so we met when I was in medical school and he was in grad school at the University of Florida. And so he worked in event management. When we got transferred overseas to Okinawa, he realized that there wasn't really much for him to do there. So he became a stay-at-home dad. Our daughter was 4 at the time. She's now 23 and off in grad school studying to be a physical therapist, and he has managed our household ever since. The deployment I spoke of earlier, where I went to the Pacific in 22, that was sort of a last minute deployment, and talking about moving. So the last time we moved, he had to do all of the arranging, all of the packing, come down here and buy a house for us all while I was on a ship somewhere in the Pacific. So he did the lion's share of all of that to make sure I could be successful. I joke all the time that, you know, I get to park in the fancy spots as a Navy captain in 06. I can park in the 06 parking spots, and my husband parks in them too, because there's no way I could do this job without him.
Oh, that's great. No, it's wonderful. I wanted to talk about, obviously, let's get people some information on some of the detachments, some of the subordinate operational elements of NMOTC. One of them, and this is, I know this is not the biggest one, but it's the one that I found the most kind of captivating and interesting. It's NUMMI. And tell people what NUMMI is and what it does, because it's such a fascinating slice of why the Navy has an operation like NMOTC.
Yes, so NUMMI is the Naval Undersea Medical Institute. It's up in Groton, Connecticut. Up in Groton, they train the submarine IDC. So if you're going to be an independent duty corpsman, so think a corpsman, you're out of high school, you go to corps school for 6 months, and then you'll go and be in the fleet for a couple of years. You apply to independent duty corpsman school. Independent duty corpsman school is 51 weeks, so it's almost an entire year, and you're taught how to be a medical provider alone and unafraid on a submarine under the ocean for 3 months. So up at NUMMI, we train those sub IDCs. We also train radiation health officers, so the Navy Nuclear Propulsion Program, safest, amazing program within the Navy, the radiation health officers and the radiation health technicians that monitor the occupational health of all of our nuclear workers also train up at NUMMI to make sure that they know how to do the right calculations, what it is that we're supposed to be tracking, what are the health concerns that we need to be looking for. I was a student up there for the radiation health indoctrination, so the two carriers I were on were nuclear power carriers, so making sure that we have the care that we need for those folks that are working in the reactor to keep them safe as they do their job for the Navy. That is the great thing. NUMMI also, interestingly enough, we train international students up there. So if you think about it, is a center of excellence, not just for the United States Navy, but for the world. So anyone who has any of our joint partner nations who have submarines, they will send their medical officers to NUMMI for training as well.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And the idea, like, it's underwater, but obviously the nuclear reactors onboard the carriers, people sometimes forget about, you know, the nuclear reactors and the subs, or at least, you know, don't think about the nuclear elements that might be related to the subs. And that's why I thought it was fascinating, because that's a part of, like, all the different parts of the Navy operations that you don't think need to be taught and trained, and then this is one that we do here in Pensacola, or at least oversee here in Pensacola. NAMI, the Naval Aerospace Medical Institute, one of the oldest operations since the 40s, I think, right?
Yes.
And what does that do?
So NAMI, any aviator really cringes at the word NAMI, because NAMI is where your physical, so if you're going into naval aviation, they are air medical qualifications. So if you want to be an aviator, your flight physical is submitted to or done by NAMI. And they make sure that folks are safe to fly. So to make sure that your vision meets the standards, that you don't have any health conditions that would make you unsafe in the aircraft, or that the aircraft would make it unsafe for your health condition. So that kind of goes both ways. Either your health condition could make the aircraft environment unsafe, or the aircraft environment makes your health condition unsafe for long-term life and health concerns. NAMI does that. They do waivers. So some of those health concerns that we want to look at, but not necessarily make you disqualified, NAMI processes about 5,000 waivers every year for folks in naval aviation. So if they have a new medical condition, such as me, I have two ACL reconstructions because my ACLs needed to be reconstructed, and they wanted to make sure I was still safe to get in the aircraft, fly, and safely egress, get out in case there was an aircraft a mishap. I have waivers for my surgeries. So just that's the same thing around NAMI. Most importantly, I think, trains flight surgeons, like we talked about, the air medical officers. So flight surgeons, if you're going to be a physician for naval aviation, a PA, optometrist, psychologist, you go through NAMI for training. And the physiologists that run the Dunker actually will do their initial training in NAMI. The aviation medical technicians, so the folks that help us do flight physicals that maintain those standards, the corpsmen, as well as the corpsmen who run the Dunkers and do all of the physiology training, they all train through NAMI. Their NAMI also has a graduate medical education program, which I'm a graduate of, the aerospace medicine residency. So with that residency, you get a master's in public health. You mentioned UWF's earlier. It's actually joint with UWF. You get your master's in public health from UWF while you're training at NAMI to be a specialist in aerospace medicine. And that is, think of making sure that your health isn't affected by the environment. You have blood pressure. I'm going to treat your blood pressure with a medication that makes it safe for you to continue to fly. Those kind of things. And then go ahead.
No, I was just going to say this. So I want to give you some perspective on this. We have talked about two of the six detachments. We haven't even gotten to talking about the Naval Survival Training Institute, NESTI, with the Dunkers, the NEMT, the Naval Expeditionary Medical Training Institute, which is think like MASH units for the Navy, where they're working without brick and mortar. SWAMI, which is the Surface Warfare Medical Institute, and SAMI, the Naval Special Operations Medical Institute. I mean, we just, like, there's so much. And I knew we would run out of time before we got to it all, but I just wanted to, you know, we talk so much about the maintainers, and they maintain the aircraft, but we also have to have the doctors and the flight surgeons and the medical that take care of the pilots or work on the ships and provide what they provide. It's just... it's outstanding. Captain Toon, we are completely out of time, but Kim Toon, the just recently NMOTSI commanding officer, thank you so much for your service in the Navy, and thanks for the time this morning explaining what that tenant command is all about.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, and thank you for your support to our Navy.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. 5:52 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help, from running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
The recent global outage had many businesses scrambling to recover. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. The single program made millions of business and government systems inoperable. As an owner, you and your IT team should have a plan in place for when trouble strikes. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Hurricane season, and when a storm threatens our region, News Radio Pensacola has complete around-the-clock coverage you can count on. Our award-winning news team will be tracking the storm's every move, providing regular updates on the storm's path, intensity, and potential impacts. You can listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
This hurricane information is brought to you by DeFranco Gas. Get your home or business storm ready. Install or maintain your generator with DeFranco Gas. DeFranco Gas does all things gas.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel, and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Newfancap and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Evacuate? In our moment of triumph? I think you overestimate their chances.
Good morning, 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to be back home in Pensacola from a week of vacation and then a week of Chicago at the DNC. Back among my people, so to speak. I mean, I grew up there, but, you know, let's just say that the in the Democratic National Convention, I was surrounded by others. But I mean, it doesn't bother me. I have a lot of Democrat friends, but I will say it was weird. It took... In the very beginning, especially when they were just, you know, Republicans are stupid and Trump is evil, and in the like the very first day, I'm thinking, man, this is a rough crowd. You know, I hope I'm okay up here. 5:56. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Yes, the Harris campaign says they've raised $40 million now since Vice President Kamala Harris gave her speech at the DNC last week. That brings the total amount of money raised for Kamala Harris's campaign now to $540 million just since President Biden left the race.
Well, the Democrats understand nothing if they don't understand marketing.
That is true. They are.
And they put on a four-day ad, which is, you know, maybe what they're supposed to do. Go ahead.
Possibly. Free COVID-19 tests are making a comeback. At the end of September, people are going to be able to order up to 4 free tests by mail again this year. These tests apparently detect the newer strain of COVID variants. So those will be available at the end of next month. And the founder and CEO of Telegram was arrested at an airport near Paris. Pavel Durov was on a private jet. He was arrested as part of a police investigation. The investigation reportedly focused on a lack of moderation on the Telegram app. Authorities say that the lack of moderation is allowing criminal activity to happen.
That's a really weird one because, you know, Section 230 basically immunizes the operators of social media companies from any kind of indemnity, you know, because they don't have control over the content. So holding them accountable for failing to patrol content is kind of a... I thought that was the whole point of why we're unable to get them to police their... I mean, I know a lot of social media companies do in order to prevent, for example, terrorism or trafficking and things like that. But I don't know. It's an interesting space to hear about that. David, absolutely. Thanks so much for the update. 5:58 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is concerning news. So, you know, we talk about the Navy and the Air Force and their recruiting and, you know, years seem to some go up, some go down, whatever. But it's generally an environment of struggle, right? What's one that you don't hear much about? Is that the Navy is now sidelining 17 ships, planning to sideline 17 ships due to manpower shortage. The reason is not Navy personnel. It's Merchant Marine. So Merchant Mariners are not going into the service. They're not showing up, and they don't have enough personnel to staff these vessels. And, you know, if you're not familiar with it, you know, Merchant Marine is the ones who do all of the, like, logistics and support, you know, the oilers and the parts and that kind of stuff. But there's 17 ships now. Military Sealift Command has a draft plan to put 17 ships into extended maintenance, which would include redistributing them to other vessels across the Navy. Two replenishment ships, a fleet oiler, a dozen Spearhead-class expeditionary fast transports, and two forward-deployed Navy expeditionary sea bases. The USS Lewis Puller, based in Bahrain, or Bayron, if you are Vice President Harris, and the USS, come on, you can't not, and the USS Herschel Woody Williams, based in Suda Bay, Greece. So this big reset, it still is going to need approval from the CNO, but this is, you know, major reshuffling.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.